Well, let's bring Vincent Verhey from NFL Football Outsiders on the show right now to talk some NFL football. Hey, Vincent, how you doing, man?
How you doing, fellas? Good to talk to you.
Yeah, well, we're doing fantastic. We're obviously reacting to week one. Do you have any panic overreactions to week one? Like, you know, obviously the Patriots lose. That wasn't really good. You saw the Tennessee Titans, you know, not have the best game. Are there overreactions, or do we still have to take it slow for the next few weeks?
Well, at Football Outsiders, one of our little catchphrases is the week one is National Jump to Conclusions Week, or maybe International Jump to Conclusions Week in this case. But, yeah, you got all kinds of things. Like, our week one ratings are out, and we have the best team in football right now is the L.A. Rams, followed by the Ravens, Bills, and Chiefs. So, again...
What a lineup.
I know. Again, it is Jump to Conclusions Week. There's 15 games to go, and sometimes weird things happen. So, as far as panicking goes, I was watching that Seahawks game with a lot of other Seahawks fans, and boy, that was a rough experience. You sit back and you try to say, well, you know what? At the end of the day, they lost to Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay in Green Bay by one score. It takes a good team to lose by one score in Green Bay. But God, that was a frustrating game to watch.
Yeah, but how does that offensive line get better, though? I mean, it's not like they can just make additions to it. I mean, there aren't plentiful offensive linemen that are just waiting around. I mean, how can they get better as a unit?
I don't know. I don't see an answer to that. The only thing that really, the one personnel move they could probably make is Houston, whose offensive line was nearly as bad as Seattle's. They have a tackle named Dwayne Brown, who's not playing right now. He's trying to get a better contract. Maybe they could trade for him and give him a deal, but that would only fix one spot of the line. And if you watch that game, at least four spots played horribly. So they need to do what Minnesota did on Monday night, which is bring out five brand-new starters who were not starting week one the year before. It needs a total overhaul. It's been several years of this now, of steady decline. And there's really no reason to expect them to suddenly turn things around. I'm sure they won't be as bad for 16 games as they were against Green Bay, but don't think they're going to get good all of a sudden.
Well, you know, it wasn't a great outing for the offensive line, but success in the sense that they didn't injure Russell Wilson straight off the bat in week one. Let's talk about Eddie Lacy for a bit. Do you think he's going to last the whole season with Seattle? Because, sure, the offensive line is partly to be responsible, but I saw nothing impressive out of Eddie Lacy against his own his former team, the Green Bay Packers.
Well, Pete Carroll's offensive philosophy, and it's very clear if you go back to his days at USC, he believes you win on defense with a deep core defensive lineman, obviously, and you win on offense with a deep core of running backs that can wear down the other team's defensive line. Now, they didn't have much of a chance to run the ball at all because they couldn't stay on the field. They couldn't run or pass. So that theory never really came to pass. But their other options are Thomas Rawls, who has been very, very good when healthy, but has never really been healthy. Same for C.J. Procise and the rookie Chris Carson. So he probably wants to keep all four backs around, especially given how some of them have an injury history. So I'm sure he'll last the season. I don't know how big of a part he'll play.
We're talking to Vincent Verhey from Football Outsiders right here on Sportsnet 650. Hey, Vincent, when it comes down to the running game, obviously David Johnson and his injury has a huge fantasy impact for teams that drafted him high. The Cardinals, they're in trouble. But Le'Veon Bell, obviously kind of a slow start. He wasn't there for preseason. But do you expect that Lev Bell will get the same amount of carries and touches he did last year? Will he become an integral part of that Steelers offense soon?
Oh, I'm sure he'll be one of the top running backs in fantasy football again when all is said and done. I wrote the Cleveland and Pittsburgh chapters, actually, for Football Outsiders Almanac this year, so I spent a lot of time studying that Cleveland defense, and, you know, it's just one game, but that front seven, that defensive front has a lot of talent between Danny Shelton, Jamie Collins, Christian Kirksey, who not a lot of people know about, but he's a stud linebacker. They didn't even have Myles Garrett on Sunday. They were the first overall draft pick, so I wouldn't panic yet. Again, it's National Jump to Conclusions Week. Certainly wasn't a good game for Le'Veon Bell, but when all is said and done, I expect him to still be a top name.
And what about the Indianapolis Colts? Now, obviously, Andrew Luck, we don't know when he's going to be healthy again. It doesn't seem very good news for him or the organization. So you're down to Tolzien or Jacoby Brissett. They can't go back to Tolzien, can they, for week two?
why not? There's no better option on the table. One of the controversies, one of the claims made about why Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job is because people said, well, you can't just sign a guy off the street and expect him to run the offense in a couple of weeks. Well, Jacoby Brissett has been on this team for a couple of weeks, and they're expecting him to run the offense and go hit the field and play football. So, you know, that argument doesn't fly. That team is just trash, honestly. They've been poorly run and poorly managed, really, for the better part of the last, well, half decade or more. They lucked into the number one draft pick, ironically, when Andrew Luck was available. He is a superstar and has carried that team. They really overachieved just based on what he's been able to do. And you take him out of the equation and you insert random crappy NFL backup and you get one of the worst teams in football. So if he's out, even in their lousy division, their chances are just about nil and they're probably going to end up with a top five draft pick.
Talking about crappy quarterbacks, hey, let's talk about Tom Brady. Has he finally hit a wall? Because I'm only saying, after week one, panic takes and all, he has the worst passer rating of any quarterback in the NFL. I mean, sure, it's just week one, but it is Tom Brady. Expectations are always high with the Patriots and a Bill Belichick team. What have you seen from Tom Brady so far?
You know, when we do our preseason predictions at Football Outsiders, one of the things we do is player most likely to decline. Hmm. And I picked Brady last year in 2016 just because, purely based on his age. And then, of course, he went out and had another great season and won the Super Bowl. But now he's another year older, so I had to pick him again, right?
Right.
Using the same logic, I kind of had to pick him twice in a row.
Well, you were ahead of the curve, right? If he's not good, you were ahead of the curve.
Well, what I said was, I'm basically at this point, I have to pick him every year until he actually gets him that year, and then I can start picking Drew Brees every year. So I've got that set for a long time. As far as Brady goes, you know, he's 40, and the track record for 40-year-old quarterbacks in pro football is short. I think Brett Favre had one good year at like age 42, and Warren Moon had a good year at 40 or 41, and that's really it. So we're approaching uncharted waters here for Tom Brady as far as old quarterbacks go. And usually, when the end comes for these guys, it tends to end quick. Now, again, it's 1 week. Remember that. The division is a horror show. Remember that. They're going to get in the playoffs.
Yes.
The signs of decline are there. Whether he might be able to reverse that trend because he is Tom Brady. But no, there's reason to worry about a guy this age.
Will the New Orleans Saints regret signing Adrian Peterson?
I think they already do. He was a guy, at his peak, he was always limited. They couldn't put him in. The Vikings could not put him on the field if they were down by one score with 2 minutes to go. Because he's just a mediocre receiver and never learned really how to pass block at all. And now that he's older, he's more temperamental, he's expensive, and there's a bunch of reasons Minnesota let him go. And it seemed like an odd fit in the Saints offense from the get-go, unless he was willing to just be like a short yardage guy. And based on the blow-up he had with Sean Payton on the sidelines last night, I mean, I'm not a lip reader. Maybe that conversation wasn't as heated as it looked on TV, but it looks like he's a little upset about only getting 6 carries in a game. But I don't see where he, in New Orleans' offensive game plan, I'm not sure where he is more than a 6 or 8 carries a game guy.
Last year, Sam Bradford had a great start with the Vikings. They were 4-0, and he had a great game on Monday when they beat the Saints. And obviously, Alex Smith is another quarterback who got off to a great start last Thursday against the Patriots. Can these guys keep that up, or do you think they're going to regress back to who they've been for most of their careers?
That's two tough questions. Two former top overall draft picks. I think Smith's track record is long enough. Now we can pretty much say he is what he is. He happened to get two big plays on Thursday night, the 270-yard touchdowns to Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt. And if you watch the tape, Hill was pretty much wide open. That there was a coverage snafu for New England that any quarterback should have been able to make that throw. And the Hunt play, what's most remarkable about it to me is if you go back and watch, Smith is in the pocket forever. New England couldn't get a hand on him, couldn't breathe on him. So he had plenty of time to go first read, second read, third read, oh, hey, here's my running back slipping all the way out to the sideline and then back over the middle, leaving a defensive end in coverage in the dust. So it was really two big plays that contributed most of his yardage, and he'd never been that much of a big play guy. Bradford is a unique case in that if you go back to his time on the Rams, then his 1 year in Philadelphia, and then last year in Minnesota behind their third-rate offensive line, the offensive talent around him has never been better than bad. His wide receivers right now are the best he's ever had. His offensive line right now might be the best he's ever had. So as weird as it sounds, for a guy who's been around since 2010, I think, he may have never had a chance to show what he can do until this season. So, yeah, he may actually be as good as he looks.
Great stuff, Vincent Verhey from NFL Football Outsiders. Great information. Can't wait to get you back on again. And I look forward to see if our panic takes and overreactions will live up to the hype, so to speak, in a week or two.
Thank you, everyone. Remember, footballoutsiders.com, weekly DVOA ratings for the teams, and the quick reads column for the best and worst players of each week.